Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
We as Christians are to live different. We are not to be living for the needs of this world. And far too many of us are. We're concerned about our bills. We're concerned about what we got to do. When God says, no, I've got another plan for you. You are different. And your Father knows.
In this world, we have plenty of things to worry about. How to pay the bills, how to help our children who may have wandered, how to deal with difficult relatives. Whatever the stress or the problem be, God wants His children to trust, to not worry, to know that no matter what comes, God will meet our needs. Here's Robert Furrow with part two of our Bible study out of Luke chapter 12, 22 through 34.
God has puts a greater value on you than the birds, but God doesn't make the birds go out and do really heavy lifting for their food. You know, they go out and look for whatever it is, berries or nuts or whatever it is that birds eat, worms, except for seagulls, which are the most annoying of birds who steal from you. They steal to survive. But hey, we go out and we worry and we wring our hands and we work because partially because we have to, right? That's part of the curse. You shall work for the things that you have, but God takes care of the birds. You're of more value than them. God cares about you far more than He does them, and He cares about them, by the way. The Bible says that God knows the number of hairs on your head, and think about that. They change daily, and God keeps up with it. The Bible says that God knows every tear you have ever cried, and that He has carried your sorrow and your grief. That's how much God cares about you. You're of a great value to God. And the third thing He says is that worry is ineffective. The ineffectiveness of worry. That we're worrying about things that we shouldn't be. I meant to put this in my notes and I didn't, so I just wanted to get, I took a picture of this out of the David Jeremiah study Bible, and I want to read it to you. Again, I love David Jeremiah. In his study Bible, he has this. He says, and I don't know where he gets these numbers are or if he ever meant for these numbers to be real, but was just kind of making a point. He says 40% of the things that you worry about never happen. I don't know where he gets those numbers, but he's just making a point. 30% of worries are related to past matters, which are now beyond your control. 12% of worries have to do with health, even when you're not actually ill. And there is a large part of anxiety where people get really anxious about a disease they might have when they don't have it. 10% of our worries are about friends and neighbors and are not based in evidence or fact. And then only 8% of our worries have some basis in reality. So 90% of the things that you worry about will never happen. And I think that's really true. I've said before that worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but you don't go anywhere. You're not really accomplishing anything positive when you worry. It may be a trigger, and maybe that's why God gave us those concerns and those worries. But remember, people's health is greatly reduced by stress. In fact, again, the anxiety and depression of America says that people with anxiety disorders are 3 to 5 times more likely to go to a doctor. When you are stressed, when you are anxious, it affects your immune system, so you can't fight things off as well. So stress and anxiety is something you want to get out of your life for your health. So Jesus says it's ineffective, and we find that in verse 25. He says, and which of you by worrying can add one cubit to your stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious about the rest? So we worry about things again that we can't change. Follow me on this one. What is the favorite height of someone who is 5'9"? 5'10"? Did I hear it? 5'10"? 5'10". What's the favorite height of someone who's 5'10"? 5'11". Right? We always want to be a little taller. And guys understand that because we guys exaggerate our height. When I was young, I taught in boots, cowboy boots. And I was from New Mexico, and people thought, well, this guy's kind of a cowboy from New Mexico. Not at all. I only wore the boots because they had a 2-inch heel and made me a little over 6 foot. I was like, that's why I wore my boots, because I didn't make 6 foot, I wanted to. I was 5'11 and a quarter. And that quarter is really important to me. I was 5'11 and a quarter. But last time I went to the doctor, they measured me and I was 5'10". I'm like, what's happening to me? I'm the great shrinking Robert Furrow. I'm shrinking. But when I'm standing next to somebody and somebody tells me they're 5'11", and I'm looking down at them, I'm like, no, that's your favorite height. That's not the actual height you are. That is your favorite height. So if we can't change by worrying, then we got to figure out how to not worry about it. We got to figure out how to pray and seek God when something's happening to us and around us that really cannot be changed. If it can be changed, then we pray about it. We ask God to change it. The fourth thing that Jesus says about worry is that God is faithful to help those who are His. You help your children, you don't help the neighbor's children. You might help them, but you help your children far more than you help your neighbor's children. And if you belong to God, then He's going to help you. So He says in verse 27, consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, of how much more will He clothe you, O you of little faith? He's going to take care of you because you belong to Him. Well, we'll see that here in just a moment, again, even more, that God takes care of those who are His. And if you've never invited Christ into your life, we're going to give you that opportunity at the end of our study today. You may think, I'm okay, I'm a Christian because I go to church, or I'm okay, I'm a good person, so I'm okay. But Jesus said you must be born again. Your spirit, when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, they died. Now, they didn't die physically until a while later, and they might not have died physically had they not ate the fruit, but they died spiritually the moment they ate it. And we have to have our spirits brought to life. That's why Jesus said, those who worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. And if your spirit isn't quickened, if you aren't born again, that which is born of the flesh is flesh and that which is born of the spirit, then you're not His child. We become His child by receiving Jesus, and then we have care from Him. Now, the fifth thing Jesus says is that God will provide for your needs. This is in verse 29. And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all of these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. You have a Father, you're different than the nations of the world. They seek after those things, but we as Christians are to live different. We are not to be living for the needs of this world. And far too many of us are. We're concerned about our bills, we're concerned about what we got to do. When God says, no, I've got another plan for you. You are different, and your Father knows. The sixth thing that He said, I might have told you six, we have seven, okay? The sixth thing that He says is to seek instead the kingdom of God. Instead of worrying about your own life, seek what God has for you. He says, but seek the kingdom of God. This is verse 31. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. This is like Matthew 6:44. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added. What you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear is the context. So God says, if you'll be about my business, if you'll seek the kingdom and righteousness, if you be about my business, I'll be about yours. Way too many Christians are not about God's business at all. You're not thinking, Lord, I give you this week. I want to be about the kingdom's business. Open up a door for me to share. Open up, let me plant a seed. Let me water a seed that may already be there. Let me live my life for you. Let me delight in you this week. Help me to walk in the spirit so I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Just the way that we walk. And as we walk in those ways, God's like, okay, you're taking care of my business. I'll take care of your business. But if you're just taking care of your business, I have a feeling God just goes, okay, go ahead. If you think, you know, you can do it better, I've given you the option to walk taking care of the business of the kingdom of God. Now, the final thing that He says is to stack up treasure in heaven. We may stack up treasure here on earth. We may be really worried about our IRAs, especially as we grow older. Our IRAs, our 401ks, 403bs, we're just worried about them. And here's what Jesus says. Do not fear, little flock. When Jesus uses the term little flock here, He was talking about birds earlier, but He's not talking about birds now. He's talking about sheep, right? A flock of sheep. And He's hearkening back to Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Which means all of your needs will be taken care of. I heard one preacher say, see, there we get all of our wants. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm not going to want for anything. It's like, you are twisting scripture, buddy. You need a lesson on Hebrew and how Hebrew is read. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want means that you're going to have all your needs met. He leads me beside still waters. He lays us down in green pastures. His rod and staff, they comfort us. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God is with me. It's a great passage, and Jesus, I think, hearkens to it as he's talking about God taking care of you. Don't fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God wants to give you everything, and it's his good pleasure to. He wants to give it to you. He's not reluctantly giving it to you. He's not going, you don't deserve this, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. It is his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourself money bags which do not grow old. A treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there is your heart also. So he's saying, look, the Bible doesn't tell us that those who are rich to sell what they have. It says, tell those who are rich not to trust in the uncertainty of riches and be willing to share. Jesus is talking to all of us, whether we have a little bit or a lot, that we would invest in the poor. The Bible says, he who gives to the poor lends to God and God will repay him. It ought to be, for all of us Christians, it ought to be part of what we do. We ought to, Lord, show me how I can help those who are poor. We ought to invest in the kingdom of God through a church that's doing the work effectively and through parachurch organizations. Like a couple of them that I like Compassion International. I love them ministering to children around the world that are in third world countries that are in need. And we can adopt one of those children and we can write letters back and forth to them. It's an incredibly good organization. And the majority of the money that you give goes to that child, the vast majority of it. Samaritan's Purse is another one that I love. Not only do they reach around the world to help third world children, but they also are first on the scene during disasters. This is Franklin Graham's organization. I'm just giving you some ideas. You can pray and seek and feel what really strikes your heart that you want to be involved in. But no matter what you want to give, even if you don't have much, even if you're struggling, still give. Invest in the kingdom of heaven. Because Jesus said, where your treasure is, your heart is. If you're not investing in the kingdom of heaven, your heart's not going to be there. If you're not investing in helping the poor and helping the impoverished in the world, then your heart's not going to be there. So we want our heart to be in heaven and not here on earth with our stuff. All right? Now I have a closing thought. How much time do I have? Not much. 2 minutes. All right. I got a closing thought. So Jesus said, O you of little faith, in the middle of this teaching. And it hearkens to another passage where Jesus says the same thing. And that is where he walks on the water. His disciples go, he sends them over, go to the other side. And he goes up to a mountain to pray. When he's up on that mountain, he sees them down struggling against the water, but they don't quit. They've learned when Jesus says, go to the other side, they're not going to go under. So they're going to keep going until they get through it, and they are going to get through it. They're not quitting this time. They did before, but now they're not. So Jesus intends to walk by, the Bible says, that he came to them walking on the water, intending to walk by. And if you wonder what Jesus walking on the water is, and we'll have a whole study on it. There's a passage in the Old Testament that uses the name of God. It's the Tetragrammaton, the Yahweh, or Jehovah. We've lost the pronunciation to it. It's YHWH in Hebrew. It's called the Tetragrammaton. It's the name of the Lord. The Old Testament says, it is the Lord who walks on the waves. It is Yahweh who walks on the waves. And why did Jesus walk on the water? Little nod and revelation to who he is. It is Yahweh who walks on the waves. So they see him and they freak out and scream, right? It's a ghost. I don't know what they meant by ghost, okay? It's a ghost. Ah! And Jesus says, don't fear. It's me. And Peter says, if it's you, then let me come to you on the water. And so Jesus says, come on, Peter. And Peter gets out of the boat and walks on the water, which is pretty amazing. I was watching the movie I Am Legend with Will Smith. And there's one point in that movie where he says, only one man ever walked on the water. And I talk to the TV sometimes. No, two. Peter walked on the water too. Don't forget about Peter. But as Peter stepped on the water and started walking towards Jesus, the Bible says that he looked at the wind and the waves and he began to sink. So what happened to him? He got fearful of the circumstances. It's a storm. It's not a calm night when he's walking on the water. So he gets fearful of the circumstances and doesn't trust in God. So Jesus rescues him. He cries out, "Lord, help," shortest prayer in all the Bible. "Lord, help," grabs him and says, "Get back in the boat, oh, you of little faith." Which is like, wait a minute, Jesus. Peter just walked on the water. If he was a modern day coach, because in modern day coaching, you don't say anything negative to your players. You only say positive. So if he were a modern day coach, he would go, "Good job, Peter. You walked on water. You're the only other guy to ever do it. Got a little secret. You're the only guy that's ever going to do it besides me. And you walked on water. Good job, Peter." But instead he goes, "Oh, you of little faith." Because he could have trusted in Christ and not looked at the wind and the waves. He could have kept his eyes on Jesus and trusted in him. And he would have been able to walk all the way out to him. And so it's the wind and the waves when we're distracted that the anxiety enters into our lives when we are no longer looking at Christ, but we are looking at the circumstances. Lord, help us to keep our eyes on you. Help us to take these many passages, and I hope you've taken some notes. The good news is you can go back and you can, you know, kind of scrub through this and get the scriptures out of it. They're good scriptures to memorize. They're good scriptures to pray over when you're feeling anxious, because God's word tells us that God's going to deliver you and give you his peace. All right, stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the richness of your word and how much we learn here. We thank you that you care about us, you value us, that you said that you are our Father. And if we're about your business, you'll be about ours. Help us to delight in you this week. Help us to abide in Christ this week. Help us to walk in the Spirit so that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And may you work day by day inside of us, the inner man being renewed day by day. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed. But I want to talk to those of you who may be young here today. You've got your whole life in front of you. And you today can be born again. You could find out what life is really about and the plan and the purpose that God's given you. I received the Lord when I was almost 14 years old, and I can tell you that my life changed radically when I did. I also walked away from him when I was 18 and came back to him when I was 19. God brought me back. He left the 99. He came after me. And that God transformed my life too when I came back at 19. And if you're older and you're here today and you're thinking, well, gosh, yeah, I'm not young anymore. But our God is the God who restores the years the locusts have eaten. And our God can use you today, no matter how old you are. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose for your life. And God knew from before the foundations of the earth that this would be your day of glory. The day you would say, "I want to live for Christ. I want to be born again. I need my spirit quickened to life," because only through truth and spirit can you worship him. So if you're here today and you would like to give your life to Christ, every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm just going to ask you to do something simple. Right where you are, just raise your hand. By raising your hand, you're letting me know that you're ready to give your life to Christ. God bless you down here. That's great. God bless you in the back underneath the balcony, sir. God bless you. Ma'am, that's awesome. God bless you, ma'am. That's great. Just raise your hand now. God bless you in the back, sir. That's awesome. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. God bless you, sir. Down next to the balcony there, on the bottom floor. God bless you, sir. There in the front of the balcony. God bless you. All right. You can put your hands down. And I would like everyone, and also those of you who are online, if you want to give your life to Christ, just respond to him. It's not raising your hand that saves you. It's not praying a prayer that saves you. It's you surrendering your life to him and inviting him in. And he will respond to that and come in. And it's God that drew you. If you're also listening on Reach Radio, then, and you can do it as well. So I would like everyone, including those who raise their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin separates me from you. I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life, and I turn from my sin that I can live for you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Very exciting. Or welcome back. right? Because I'm not sure whether or not you raise your hand for the first time or you've been away for a while and God's bringing you back home. Either way, God's going to do a work in your life. We have a new believers table that's along the wall. Great people that are there. We want to give you a Bible and a new believers packet. A lot of people make commitments in church and then walk out the doors and never follow through. We want to give you an opportunity to follow through. And if you can't stop by there, or if you're online or listening on the radio, then you can send us an email to saved@calvarytucson.com. Tell us your story. Give us your testimony. Let us know how God touched you and how you were saved. We have people who will respond to that email, talk to you about where you're at and what you need to do. You can ask questions. We just want to help you anyway. Let us help you. You could also send us a text, Ready for Jesus, to 94,000. The link that you get back this time is going to be our new believers card. Fill that out and we'll have someone who will get together with you promptly, all right? Or someone who will respond to that and help you out promptly. We want to come alongside of you. And I can say, as we've seen the number of people getting saved increasing, we've also seen the number of people that are following through increasing as well. There are always some who respond that don't follow through, but I just want to encourage you to follow through. If you gave your life to Christ today, let us come alongside and help you. All right. So I want to pray for you. And I obviously want to pray for anxiety today, because I'm sure there were some who are here are anxious. Or if you're going to be, God knows, God's like, I'm getting you ready. And so I want to pray for you. I want to pray for your health as well, because oftentimes it's our health that we're anxious about. That may be the case in these days. So I'm going to ask you, the Bible says, let men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray. I'm going to ask you all, men and women, it uses it in the generic sense, to lift up your hands. They're made holy by the blood of the Lamb. And I want to pray for you. Father, I want to pray for those that need a healing touch today. You've said that if we would pray for the sick, they would recover. And Lord, we are asking that you would heal. Lord, I also pray for the anxiety, the depression, the distraught, distress in people's lives. I pray that this would all be lightened as we look at these truths from your word, that we as your people are not to live in that anxious, stressful state, but to trust in you, believe you. And I pray that you would help these things happen to us. Lord, I pray right now that some that are dealing with anxiety disorders or depression disorders would be healed in the name of Jesus. You'd touch them and heal them now. We would hear back testimonies. I was living in anxiety, but God touched me and healed me. And we're so thankful for this. We pray the same for those watching online and those listening on the radio. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. The benediction that I use is the priestly blessing in the Old Testament. And I like it because it uses that tetragrammaton again, the name of God, when it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. And God told the priest, in this way, you're speaking the name of God over people. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he shine his face upon you and be gracious unto you. May he give you peace. And that's a prayer for you. And I believe, I hope and I pray that you would have that reality within your life.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and his word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit PCLAZ.org. That's PCLAZ.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
I wanted to have a stronger walk with Jesus. I wanted a better understanding of the Bible. And that's why I decided to enroll at Reach College of Ministry. The Bible study methods was only 8 weeks long, but it was life-changing. Both the instructor and course material met me right where I was at and gave me new tools to have a much better grasp of Scripture. Most importantly, my relationship with Jesus grew even stronger. I'm confident your experience will be life-changing. Attend in person or online from the comfort of your own home. Go to thereachcollege.org to start your journey. That's thereachcollege.org.